Every Sunday is a Memorial Day. And we have the cost of freedom is blood. Mark just gave the communion and he talked about we're saved by the blood of Christ. Our freedom in the United States of America is because of blood. Memorial Day, I'm going to talk about Memorial Day. Memorial Day is a federal holiday in the United States. It was observed on May 30th until 1971 when it was changed. It was changed to the last Monday of May. The custom of placing flowers on the graves of war began in May 5th, 1866 in Waterloo, New York. And Waterloo has been recognized by Congress as the official birthplace of Memorial Day. In 1868, General John A. Logan, then President of the Grand Army of the Republic, declared that May 30th would be a day to decorate with flowers the graves of the comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion. After World War I, the day was set aside to honor all American wars, and the custom was extended to pay homage to deceased relatives and friends, both military and civilian. The most solemn ceremony conducted on Memorial Day is the placing of a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown located in Arlington National Cemetery by the President of the United States. Tomorrow we will celebrate this day. Many people see it as just a day off, a three-day weekend. But for those who have lost someone because of war or military action, it means much more than just a day off. In fact, every American ought to recognize this day out of his patriotic duty to his country and in honor of those who spilled their blood to make America what she is today, free, strong, and a nation worth fighting for. More than a million Americans have died in wars fighting for the freedom that we enjoy today. In Civil War, 498,000 Northern soldiers were killed and 133,000 soldiers from the South died. In World War I, 116,000 American soldiers died. In World War II, 407,000 American soldiers died. 44,000 American soldiers died in Korea. 58,000 died in Vietnam. 148 died during Desert Storm. 4,079 American soldiers died in Iraq. And 2,400 died in Afghanistan. Of course, there were conflicts and casualties as well that aren't documented in these wars. More than a million Americans have died in wars around the world fighting for the freedom that we enjoy in this country. If you think about the age of this country, and one thing I realized in Afghanistan is somebody dies every day. The age of this country is right around a million days, and we've lost a million lives. So what I saw at war is what we see every day for our freedom. Jesus said in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Because men have died for this country, we have the right to preach God's word freely. We have the right to live at peace in our homes. We have the right to pursue peace, prosperity, and happiness. Thank God for those who died to make us free. There's a poem that reads, in part, it is the soldier, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. It is the soldier, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It is the soldier, not the clergy, who has given us freedom of religion. It is the soldier, not the campus organizer, who has given us the freedom to demonstrate. It is the soldier who salutes the flag, serves beneath the flag, and whose coffin is draped by the flag. As we prepare to enter into a day to remember those who died for liberty, it is fitting to remember the one who died to set us free from spiritual tyranny. Jesus gave his life that we might have liberty from hell in his holy name. Jesus gave us a chance of freedom. Freedom from hell. Freedom to go to heaven. We celebrate Memorial Day once a year to remember those who died for freedom, but every week it is a celebration of the memorial of Christ. Let's parallel our nation's Memorial Day with the Memorial Day of Christ because of the Christian, because for the Christian, every Sunday is Memorial Day. We started studying Acts in the class in the back, and we left off with Matthew, and it's really fitting that we are where we are. And we talked about Christ's death just a couple weeks ago, and we went through the crucifixion of Christ and all the suffering that he did. One thing I did to study for this talk this morning, and I didn't put it in part of it, and I wish I would have, was I studied the death of all the apostles. And if you ever have the opportunity to do that, Google that. It's easy to find. It takes seconds. And study how the apostles died. They all died a horrible death other than John. But looking at the cost that they went through and the belief in Jesus that they had, and to think about how easy our life is, how easy it is compared to what they had back in those days. Right now we're in Acts, and I look at how many times they're put in prison, how many times they're held, how many times they're cast out of the temple, how many times they're probably spit upon and the persecution that they take every day. We don't have that here. It's amazing what we have for freedom here in the United States. On Memorial Day, we do three things. We mourn the loss, we remember the lives, and are thankful for the sacrifice. In light of cross battle, let's examine evidence of our memorial and hymn as we recognize the likeness of our celebration of our military. On Memorial Day, first of all, we will mourn the loss. We remember the loved ones who died, wish they were here and not gone, here to share with us, to hold, to talk, and to see. But because of death, we cannot. When people die, we naturally think of the if-onlys. We think if-onlys over and over about the person that died. If only I had told him I loved him. If only I had kissed her one last time. If only I hadn't spoken so harshly. We replay these doubts over and over in our minds, but we ultimately know those if-onlys would not change a thing. On the Lord's Memorial Day, we are to examine our responsibility to Christ. The Christian must recognize that he is very responsible for his death. If only we had not sinned, he would not have had to die. But we are to blame. We must examine ourselves as we meet around his memorials, if we would stand before a mirror and realize the truth in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I am the one to blame. I caused all his shame. He was publicly humiliated, beaten, spit upon, treated as a sinner because I am a sinner. Everyone here this morning is a sinner. We are all to blame. We all mourn the loss of Christ. If we could only have talked to him, if we could only have been there when he did his miracles. You know, we all, as we study the scriptures, think, if I could have only been there. So as we go through our classes in the mornings, it's interesting to learn about if only. Matthew 18, 12 through 14, we find that no matter what, he loved us so much that if one person sinned, he was going to die for that sin. He was going to save that one individual. And we find evidence of this in Matthew 18, 12 through 14. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. We are the lost sheep, and Jesus found us. Mourning the loss is the first thing we do as we celebrate the memorial of our Lord. This is why Jesus gave us the bread. At communion, The first thing you do with the bread as you partake of this memorial is break it. Whether you physically break it with your hands or you chew it, you break the body of Christ. Just as our sin broke the physical body of Christ. On Memorial Day, we mourn the loss, and the next thing we do is we remember the lives. Part of our emotional healing in the process of grief is to remember the lives of the one who has passed. We set up memorials for everyone. The headstones we put on the graves are a testimony of who these people were. What message will you have on your headstone? All of these messages tell us a little bit about the one that is buried there. If you go to cemeteries tomorrow, read the headstones as you walk through. See if you can learn a little bit about the person in each gravesite as you're walking through. I think about that, you know, when you pass away, what is going to be written on your headstone? Likewise, Jesus, he said what he wanted us to do with his memorial. And I've seen a lot of communion tables, and I've been in a lot of churches, and a lot of them have a saying that's written on their table, on their communion table. It says, "This is my body, which for you, do this in remembrance of me." And we find this in 1 Corinthians 11:24. In the Bible, it's easy in today's technology to find out how many times a word or a phrase or something happens in the Bible. And so I looked up in the Bible the words remember, remembrance, memorial, and found there more than 230 times. God reminded his children in the Old Testament to remember that they were once slaves in Egypt. He also commanded his people to observe certain days as days of remembrance. In the New Testament, Jesus said that every time we approach his table, we are to do in remembrance of him. What must we remember about Jesus? I could be up here all day and give things about what we should remember about Jesus. Again, in class this morning, we talked about his last days and what he went through. But he always had an attitude of love, no matter what. And I don't know that anybody in here, I can't. You know, we all get mad. We all show our temper. We all do things that we regret. We all do things that we wish we would have done differently. I don't think that happened with Christ. I think he knew what to do, and he did it in the right attitude, the right temperament, all the time. So what I'd like to suggest that you remember is how he lived and what he taught and about his parables, about his healing, about the word that he wanted to give people. He wanted to give everybody hope. He wanted to save everyone. He wanted everybody not to sin. He wanted to take away everybody's worries, all of them, and not worry. He set a glowing example to live in love. Everything he did was love. So our life should reflect love. And it's weird because I started out with talking about freedom costs, the cost of freedom is blood. And then I'm ending up with, well, we need to remember of Christ is everything with him was love. But what happened to him? He overcame evil with his sacrifice so that we might have a chance. The bread that we first have broken is a reminder of the body of Christ. We are vividly reminded each time we observe the memorial that we are part of the body of Christ. When we physically eat this bread, it becomes a part of our body. Our body uses this bread for our nourishment. This remembering is not simply the recalling of historical facts. It's a participation in spiritual reality. At the Lord's table, we don't walk around a monument and admire it. We have fellowship with a living Savior as our hearts reach out by faith. As we partake of that bread, we should be reaching out. We should be thinking. We should be remembering. We should be remembering what He went through, the blood that was shed for us. If we approach this memorial in a proper attitude, we will experience spiritual growth. Just as our physical body grows when fed properly, so when you and I partake, we're proclaiming to the world, I believe in the death and burial of resurrection of Jesus. I may not be able to speak eloquently, but I can proclaim my faith through these emblems, so I partake in remembrance of Him. The opposite is also true. If we approach the table in a haphazard manner, and we take something that is of the highest of religious ceremonies and make mockery of it, and there will be hell to pay for the one who cares not for what the Savior has done. This is found in 1 Corinthians 11:27 through 29. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I remember the first time that I heard this verse, and I've not taken the communion the same way since. So if you read that verse and you think about the memorial that Christ has set up, He wants us to have reverence with it. He wants us to do it right. He wants us to think about what we're doing. On Memorial Day, we do three things. We mourn the loss, we remember the lives, and are thankful for the sacrifice. There's a story, and I've read this before. It's a story, it's called Stories from the Heart, and it's just a story. There's a lot of stories in this book that stories from the heart. They're all true stories. They're all war stories. And I want to read this one again. It was a few weeks before Christmas, 1917, the beautiful snowy landscapes of Europe were blackened by war. This would be World War I. The trenches on one side held the Germans, and on the other side the trenches were filled with Americans. It was World War I. And if you think back in World War I, wars are different today. We really don't look into somebody's eyes and do our fighting. We do it from distance. And as I read the numbers of war, you can see the numbers of war came down to very little numbers for the latest wars that we've been in, because wars are done with technology more than they are with anything else. But in World War I, it was close. It was a close war. It's a war of trenches. It's a war of where you put the on the end of your a bayonet. You put a bayonet on the end of your gun because you were going to run out of bullets quickly, and it was come down to a man-to-man fight. That's what World War I was. The exchange of gunshots was intense. Separating them is a very narrow strip of no man's land. A young German soldier attempting to cross that no man's land had been shot and had become entangled into the barbed wire. He cried out in anguish, then in pain he continued to whimper. Between the shells, all the Americans in that sector could hear him scream. When one American soldier could stand it no longer, he crawled to the German soldier. When the Americans realized what he was doing, they stopped firing, but the Germans continued. Then a German officer realized what the young American was doing, and he ordered his men to cease firing. Now there was a weird silence across the no man's land. On his stomach, the American made his way to that German soldier and disentangled him. He stood up with the German in his arms, walked straight to the German trenches, and placed him in the waiting arms of his comrades. Having done so, he turned and started back to the American trenches. Suddenly there was a hand on his shoulder that spun him around. There stood a German officer who had won the Iron Cross, the highest German honor for bravery. He jerked it from his own uniform and placed it on the American, who walked back to the American trenches. When he was safely in the trenches, they resumed the insanity of war. That German soldier was thankful for that American soldier's sacrifice. All the heroic acts done on the battlefield through history have made our country what it is today. We are free, we are wealthy, and we are respected around the world. In conclusion, I'd like to read a poem. I watched the flag pass by one day. It fluttered in the breeze. A young Marine saluted it, and then he stood at ease. I looked at him in uniform, so young, so tall, so proud. With hair cut square and eyes alert, he'd stand out in any crowd. I thought how many men like him had fallen through the years. How many died on foreign soil, how many mothers' tears. How many pilots' planes shot down above the deep blue sea. How many foxholes were soldiers' graves. No freedom isn't free. I heard the sound of taps one night when everything was still. I listened to the bugler play and felt a sudden chill. I wondered just how many times that taps had meant amen when the flag had dropped a coffin or a brother or a friend. I thought of all the children of the mothers and the wives, of fathers, sons, and husbands with interrupted lives. I thought about a graveyard at the bottom of the sea, of unmarked graves at Arlington. No freedom isn't free. With that this morning, I would like you all to consider how important Christ's life was and what he did for us and how important it is that we have this memorial in front of us every Sunday. And to think about his life and to remember his life. And he wants us to do that every first day of the week. With that, I'd like to offer the gospel invitation to anyone that's out there that has something that they want to make known to the congregation, or they want to be part of Christ and be baptized into his church and into his body. Please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.